The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects played throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Also, life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, but we probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? I don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. Now look how I stretched that out. Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk hope with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thing you hear. Here's a good one. Do you remember, after you became a Christian, when God turned the switch on for you so that you just realized your whole element, your whole being, you just want more of Him? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember that time? How powerful that was? Wow! Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness, because we consider that to be sad. Just reach out and give us a call, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call, 972-445-0770. 445-0770. You'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like talking to a person that you can count on.
Aww.
That's so nice. That's nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you as well, my friend. I want you to know if you're in San Diego, it's 11:34 and 38 seconds. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:34 and 41 seconds. There is weather in both cities, plus weather all over the world. And there is traffic in both cities, plus all over the world. Just think of all the commonality we have. Hey, if you want to call, you can call. If you want to text, it's safer. You can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-pro voice coming up right now.
214-210-8483.
There you go. Additionally, by the way, we just want to encourage you in this. You can send an email during the show. I get them all. I do. Even the ones that maybe not as pretty as one might think they might be. We get those too. David at hemustincrease.org. David, D-A-V-I-D, at the A thing with the little circle around it. Looks kind of goofy. Hemustincrease.org. Taken off of John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, I must decrease. So David at hemustincrease.org. There's a bunch of things we want to get to. We are going to be doing our trivia in a little bit. I will be sending you up to the website when we do our trivia. It's my job not to forget that today because Yeah, I've been forgetting that. But in the meantime, we go to the Word of God, because the thing that you and I need to get more than anything else is that when we're praying, we're sharing our heart with the Lord. And that communion between us and the Lord is phenomenal. Sometimes we pray, we're asking God to change things. Sometimes we pray, God is changing things in us. That's all cool. But when you read the Word of God, when you're in the Word of God and you study the Word of God, it's called the Word of God for a reason. You want to know what God has to say? Start understanding what He has already said. If you learn how He sounds in His written Word, you'll know how He sounds in everyday life. Oh, that's an idea right there. Maybe yet another brilliant reason to jump into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, we're picking up from last week when we talked about the traditions of the Pharisees and the religious leaders and how that impacted them. So let's look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 6. Here's what Jesus said. And so by your own tradition, you nullify the direct commandment of God, you hypocrites! Isaiah was prophesying about you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they replace God's commands with their own man-made teachings. Whew. I'm telling you, you think every time Jesus spoke and he was talking to people and doing lessons, you think there was the harp was playing, the angels were fluttering. There's little rainbows shooting off in all the sky. There were a few times where Jesus taught where I wouldn't want to be in the room, so to speak, because there was some powerful, powerful teaching. And here's what Jesus is saying. And boy, oh boy, just follow. We talked about it last week, but it's important because churches still do this. When Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, by your own traditions you nullify the direct word of God, it's a straightforward rebuke to the religious leaders, and it applies to now as well as then. It comes down to the critical understanding that God's word is far superior to any traditional writings, including commentaries on the Word of God, including the Talmud or the Mishnah, which is an oral commentary on the Word of God, which actually ended up carrying more weight than the actual Word of God. Hey, I love study Bibles. Let me just want to say that right now. Get that right out there in the front so nobody thinks anything weird. I love commentaries. I have enough of them. That's besides the point. And enough study Bibles and enough encyclopedias and enough Bible dictionaries. And all of them are fantastic. But every one of them bows to the Word of God. So let's just make sure we're on the same page here. God created the universe. Yes, the dude can write a book. Don't tell me God can't write a book. You understand, Dave, there's different variations. There's different translations. So what? Who cares? So there's chocolate ice cream and vanilla ice cream. Awesome sauce. Who cares? Still ice cream. And the bottom line to that process is understanding that God's capability, he who created the universe through his voice, he who speaks life where there is none, he who brings restoration and healing where nobody can seem to find it, that our God who wrote the word is able to communicate what he wants to communicate without having to fret about it. People do a lot more fretting than God does. So these people are taking their oral traditions and their commentary traditions, and they're making them as authoritative as God's actual direct word. So we want to be really kind when we say this in the most compassionate Christian way. How stupid is that? It's dumb. Listen, commentaries are phenomenal. Don't get the wrong idea. I love them, but they are not the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. And quite frankly, the best commentary on the Word of God is, get this, the Word of God. when Scripture talks about things, if you will do enough studying, you'll find out it backs up everything in every way, keeping everything in balance. You know who tried to throw the Scripture off balance? Satan, when he was doing his temptational trials with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Listen to the simplicity of this. In Matthew chapter 4, the devil comes. Jesus has been fasting. The devil says, well, you know, if you're the Son of God, turn this rock into bread right here. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy. What's the next thing that Satan does? Takes him up to a little hill, a high hill actually, that says, hey, drop yourself off, because it's written, he will not let you dash your foot against a stone. But I want you to see the strategy. What did Satan do? As soon as Jesus used the word of God to defeat the enemy, Satan then takes Jesus to a place and then tries to apply the word of God. Here was the problem, and here is the answer. Jesus's reply. Four words that you should always remember. I wish I always remembered them. Jesus said, it is also written. So when Satan tried to take Jesus out by having him twist the word, Jesus brought the balance of the word of God by using the word also. It's also written this. And that also tells you that one scripture is balanced by another scripture, and therein lies wisdom. So the enemy tries. He tries to make it as bad as he can make it. Tries to distort the word, tries to get you to focus on one thing, tries to get you to take one portion out of context and make that your life. Well, that's why he's called the father of lies. And the way that you break the power of a lie is with the truth. And God is truth. Lord Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So that's how this goes. That's how this process is going. And then Jesus, because this is really, if you catch this, when Jesus tells him, you hypocrites, okay, here's what you're doing. Jesus said in verse 10, Jesus called the crowd and said, listen to what I'm saying. Try to understand. You're not defiled by what you eat, but you're defiled by what you say. Because what they were trying to do was bring accusation about something that the disciples were eating and about this ceremonial law. You have to understand something about Scripture. In the Old Testament, there's ceremonial law, there's civil law, and there's moral law. Jesus destroyed the ceremonial law. Sorry. So when everybody goes, well, in the Old Testament, you couldn't eat lobster. That was the Old Testament, bud. We're in the New Testament now. No ceremonial. Get over yourself. Number two, civil law has been consistent all the way between the Old and the New Testament, and moral law is twice as moral as it ever was, because in the Old Testament, if you killed somebody, it was not appropriate. In the New Testament, if you're angry with somebody, it's not appropriate. Much worse. Much worse, by the way. But I want you to pick up one thing on this case, and then I'll kind of wind it down, because this is unbelievable. The religious leaders, they were relieving people of their financial responsibility to their parents. And what they were actually doing, in reality, was paving a pathway for themselves, for the leaders, to get that money that was supposed to be designated to the parents. I just want to point this out to you. This game is not new. It's thousands of years old. In the name of justice, equity, and perverted compassion, programs to help the less fortunate are generated, but the snake behind those deceptions is satanic. The people are of their father, the devil. They are trying to coordinate something in the name of good with actually evil intentions. Now, where, pray tell, have we heard about a group of people who have some kind of authority coordinating programs that are designed to look really good on the surface, but underneath it all, it's all just to pad their pockets? No wonder the word politic means poly, many, and tick, blood-sucking insects. That sure makes a lot of sense now. All right, now I'll take a deep breath. That was kind of a weird way to take a breath. Okay, Here's your first trivia question. You guys ought to get this. So listen, if you're in San Diego or if you're in Dallas, you can still reach out to us and give us an answer. And here's your question. Here you go. Who was the firstborn of Abraham? Was it Isaac, Ishmael, or Israel? Isaac, Ishmael, or Israel? If you think you know the answer, wow, you can let your fingers do the walking. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in, you can, yep, live right here, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, and there's a couple reasons to send you up to the website. We do have somebody calling in, but we want you to get to the website, and I'll tell you why. And I know you guys like it when I'm – I hope you like it when I'm honest. Some people are like, I just want to hear happy things. Well, you're in the wrong life. This planet's got a lot of sin, so it doesn't really work that way. But here's what I'm going to tell you. 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify according to their ability and beyond their ability they gave of their own accord. I'm telling you right now, in paying radio rent, we had to go into debt to do it. Do I like doing that? No. Will I do that? Of course. Won't even think of it twice, but I don't like it. I'd like people to step up as much as they can, but if you can't do it, I bless you in the name of the Lord and ask you to please pray for us. We need some help in the finances. On the website is an opportunity to list out either prayer reports or praise requests, plus a whole bunch of other stuff that's really, really, really cool. If you can do it, give. If you can't, don't worry. We'd love to see it all come together and do it all for the honor and glory of the Lord. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
I had that happen 2 days ago. I sent a text to somebody. I know people know. You ever send a text to somebody, like you say like 3 or 4 words, and then you go, oops, maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. Do you ever do that and go, wish I could take that back, right?
Yep. Or you look at something, you're like, why did I say that?
Why didn't I just put a smiley face and forget the whole thing, right?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
All right. I'm not the only person doing that. All right. Your trivia question. Who was the firstborn of Abraham? Was it Isaac, Ishmael, or Israel? Somebody is on the line. Let's have them buzz on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm feeling, yesterday I was kind of tired. Did you ever through the day and you're just like, oh, and I just don't know if it was the holidays or just everything that's going on. I just like, we need like a 2 week siesta. That's kind of how I feel sometimes, like just taking a break. How are you feeling today?
Well, about the same, but I'm going to keep praying.
Okay, well, you got to keep praying because, you know, in Luke chapter 8, it's very specific about that the woman touching the robe was found that healing immediately, and it was her faith that helped her, and that's like a big part of this. It's like my faith, your faith, everybody's faith that's praying, we take that faith and we combine it and bring it before the Lord, and nothing is impossible for the Lord to do.
No, he's the great physician.
That's right. All right, so I'm going to give you this chance to answer, and then we'll pray for you. Who was the firstborn of Abraham? Was it Isaac, Ishmael, or Israel?
It was Ishmael.
That is correct, Amundo, sir! You are right. He was not the child of promise. He was the child of we're going to help God fulfill the promise. And that didn't work out all that brilliantly, but that's part of it. Let's pray over you, bro, and we'll pray for the audience at the same time for people that are hurting. So let's do it. Let's offer our faith.
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our precious brother, Gary. We ask you in the name of Jesus Christ, by the compassion and by the willingness, Jesus, that you demonstrate in the Gospels, that you would bring healing power into Gary's life. When that woman touched your robe, Jesus, she found that healing immediately, and you said to her, your faith has made you well. We ask you in the name of Jesus to bring that faith that we have into play, and that you would bring healing into Gary's life, and that he might testify. And not just for him, Lord, but we have a lot of people that are hurting physically in different areas, and we believe that you are the great physician. We ask you to bring that healing. Father God, we ask you to pour it out so that there can be a testimony unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask that the Holy Spirit would empower and touch people's lives, and that they would find themselves renewed and revived and resurrected. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, and I'll continue. I've been praying for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
And God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, great call from our brother Gary. Let's go right back into the text. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with me. Sometimes I can be annoying. Have you noticed that? Okay, don't answer that there, Joe.
You're not annoying.
No, not at all. Not at all, Dave. I'll get your $20 to you. What now? I owe you about $350. All right, here we go. All right, so here's what Jesus in verse 10. Jesus called out to the crowd, said, "Listen to what I say. Try to understand. You're not defiled by what you eat. You're defiled by what you say." Okay, that's just right there. You know right away Jesus has already changed everything in the entire process. What do you mean? I'm not defiled so I can eat gefilte fish, but then I can also have a rib? Yes. That's not the problem. The problem is what comes out of the mouth. The problem is that we're blessing brothers and cursing brothers. We're blessing sisters and cursing sisters. That's not right. And that tells you where your heart is. But look at verse 12. This is the thing I want you to get, because there's another portion where he digs into that a little deeper. He says, verse 12, "Then the disciples came to him and said, 'Do you realize that you've offended the Pharisees by what you just said?'" Jesus, you just said something offensive. We've had this happen in this society that's gone to the maximum. I'm offended. Well, I'm offended that you're offended. I'm offended that you're not offended, that I'm offended, that you're offended, that I'm offended, that he's offended, that she's offended, that they're offended, that we're all offended, so everybody's offended. At some point, everybody just needs to stop. Here's Jesus' response. Jesus doesn't go, "Oh my, I offended them? Oh, okay." Here's what Jesus said. "Every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be rooted up." Verse 14. "So ignore them." Go look right now in your book. Go look in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Ignore them. That's the same thing as pay no attention to them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another, they will both fall in the ditch. It's not a slam against people that are blind. It's a slam against leaders who fail to see what's going on in their own lives. And so Jesus, there's no pulling the punches here in any way, shape, or form. Jesus is like, "Hey, Jesus, man, do you know they offended him?" He said, "So what?" See, that's like, well, that's not very politically correct. So what? Well, that's not really responding well to the woke people. So what? Jesus presents a teaching that many people don't appreciate. He teaches that it's not what people eat that defiles them, not now, not ever, especially if it's received with thanksgiving. It's what people say that defiles them. And as Jesus concludes, he's found that the Pharisees are offended. Here's his response. Ready? You'll love this. This is my paraphrase. Yes, this is not in the scripture, but it's really good and it's really close. Here's Jesus' words. Ready? "See you later, alligator. In a while, crocodile." He doesn't care. I know, it's like, how can he not care that he offended the Pharisees or the politicians or the academics or the media or all of these wonderful people? How could he not care that he's offended the activists? How could he not care that he's offended these quasi-religious people? How could he not care? Because he's following the Father. And you know what? He doesn't care. And this is where people get upset. I know they get upset. I've said this to somebody, and I did think for a second they were going to lose their cookies over this. But it's like, God doesn't care what your opinion is. See, God doesn't do this and go, "Do you like it? Do you think it's okay how I did it? What do you think? How do you feel about it? Are your feelings in sync with how I'm doing this?" Do you know what God says? This is what we're doing, and if you don't like it, don't get on the lifeboat called Jesus, and then you can just go where you're going, which is going to be very hot and toasty for a very long time. You think, that's just mean. tough. God doesn't owe anybody anything. And Jesus' response to just ignore them, that would be a little better, because what I do is I get mad and then I throw things back. Right? I mean, that's true. I mean, I do that, okay? What Jesus is at, don't pay attention. They're blind people leading the blind. All those people in all those different realms, right? It's all just blind people leading the blind. We talk about the academia, you talk about politicians, you talk about media, you talk about the entertainment industry. It's blind people leading the blind. They have no morals. They're not even close to God. In fact, they wouldn't know the difference between God and a brown paper bag. That ought to tell you everything. In fact, they should listen to Nick Danger, and then they could know what a brown paper bag is. But they probably won't. That's not the point. The point is simply this. Ignore them. It doesn't matter. What matters is what Jesus says. What matters is what God has declared, not what anybody else comes up with. It is the Word of God that matters. Now, if you're in San Diego, don't you go nowhere. You hang out with us. You go to HeMustIncrease.org. You click on the Listen Live. You can keep listening to the show. If you're in Dallas, you can just hang out with us. You know what the deal is. You take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you know, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me, and I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us, before Jesus Christ, was in bondage to sin. Every one of us. Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, so the only way it can happen is, because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free. I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.